Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. With that, I want to say welcome to another segment of our Friday evening Bible study. And it's so good to have so many of us here. And I'm thankful for all of you who are online and all of you who have been praying for us over the past week. Last week, we had a very exciting and emotional, so to speak, Friday evening because my wife was waiting on a kidney transplant, and then about 4:30 last Friday afternoon, they called us, and they told us that we had to be at the hospital so we had 1 hour to get ourselves together and get dressed and get ourselves over to the hospital at Piedmont Hospital, so that they can prepare for the transplant. But I just want to thank God because everything went well. The surgery was well, and my wife did get the kidney transplant. And she is recovering very nicely now at Piedmont Hospital. She's not home as yet. She's still at the hospital, but everything is going well. So I just want to thank God for that. And I just want to apologize in a way for last week, for those of us who joined us and then, the program was not on. Because in the rush to get to the hospital, I managed to walk with my books and I pack a lot of things because I know we'll be spending the night over there. And I forgot the computer. I think I had the computer in the car, but I forgot it. And so when we were upstairs in the hospital room there where my wife was situated, and we're working on her, getting her prepped for the surgery. I tried to get into the program and then realized that I didn't have my computer with me. And so couldn't do anything over there. So anyhow, but all is well. And I thank you guys for being with us today. See, the lines are lighting up and people are coming on. And so we're thankful for that. And I think Jackie is with us. Jackie, how are you doing, my friend? Hello? Okay, I thought I saw Jackie there. Anyhow, for the rest of us who are online, I just want to say welcome. And today we are looking at a very interesting topic. And that topic is to forgive is divine. Now, this was the topic that we were supposed to look at last week, last Friday, but because of what happened, like I said, we did not get to do it. So we're going to do it today, and we have Pastor Larry Milliken with us, and he's going to lead out in the Bible studies today. And so I just want to thank him for being here. And he's going to come on a little later on. But I just want to set this program up for us, especially for those of us who are listening. And I'm going to ask a question. And that question is, how do you forgive that person who has hurt you? You know, it says to forgive is divine. But how do you forgive the person that has hurt you? It's not easy, right? Well, with this question, I want to say good evening again. And then I want to say that is a big question. How do we forgive? Especially when we stop to consider that the nature of forgiveness, as far as, you know, the word forgiveness and forgiven is concerned, they are translated from two Greek words. And if you look at those Greek words that translate into forgiveness, what they are commonly saying, or the idea that they are commonly portraying, is that the person who have been offended, right? The person who has been offended, in forgiving the offender, that person must not only say, you know, I forgive you, and then leave it at that, or, you know, so you forgive, but you will have nothing more to do with the person who has hurt you. But when you forgive, what the translation of those Greek words that is translated forgiveness is saying is that you must restore the relationship that you have had with the person. If you and the person had a prior relationship, you must restore that relationship, and you should treat the person as though they have not done you something that is wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that is a big pill, so to speak, to swallow. But that is what true forgiveness is all about. And that's why it says to forgive is divine. You know, to forgive is divine. So if you really forgive somebody, you know, sometimes we say we forgive, but we would never forget what a person did to us. You know, but if you're going to truly forgive, then you should not only forgive, but you have to forget, or even if you can't forget, because sometimes you might not forget what the person did, but at least we have to try to restore the relationship that we have had with that person before, you know, the person did us wrong or offended us. And so the big question is how do we do that? How do we get to the point where we can not only say we forgive, but truly do forgive and restore relationships that were broken, or, you know, restore trust that was lost due to somebody doing something or saying something that was not right to us? And It's something that our teacher tonight, Pastor Milliken, is going to go into, and he's going to start off in a little while. And before he starts, though, we are going to listen to a special song, which is called Walking in Sunlight. Walking in Sunlight. And after that song, then we are going to go into our prayer. I don't know if Sister Jackie is there or not, but after that song, we are going to our prayer. And then we're going to bring Pastor Milliken on to speak about forgiveness. And after he's finished his study, we're going to have a little wrap session after that. So again, I just want to thank you for being with us. I welcome you all back to another Friday evening Bible study. And I just want you to know that God is in the business of blessing. The Bible said that his word is not going to, you know, return unto him void, but it's going to accomplish whatsoever he has sent it forth to do. So as the word go forth tonight, know that you're going to be blessed, and we're all going to be blessed, and then we're all going to be drawn a little closer to God as we learn about forgiveness and what true forgiveness is all about. All right, so listen to this song, after which we're going to pray, and then Pastor Milliken is going to join us. Walking in Sunlight. The men of Israel singing a cappella. So I just want to read a text for us before we pray, and that text is taken from Colossians, the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 13. And it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgive you. And so what is saying there, that the concept of forgiveness is crucial to us as God's children. And without it, there would be no religion. Imagine that. If there was no forgiveness, there would be no religion, because God first forgave us so that we can forgive others. And then it says, growing in grace enables the Christian to forgive people who have harmed them, regardless of the offense. All right, Pastor Milliken is with us, and I just want to say welcome, Pastor. We're going to go into our prayer, and after which I'm going to turn everything over to you so that you can lead us into the Word of God. Let us pray. Eternal Father and our God, we thank you that you have called us in darkness, but to walk in sunshine, walk in the sunlight. We thank you that you have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we know that the only way you were able to do that is because you forgive us from all our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your word says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait until we make things right, until we get to our act together, so to speak, in order to forgive us and to bless us and to come and die. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for that old rugged cross that is able to wash us and make us clean. We thank you, O God, for the Spirit of God that is able to regenerate us and make us anew, so that we can treat others the way you have treated us, and we can forgive others the way you have forgiven us. Father, we know that without your Spirit, we cannot do this. And so we thank you for the Spirit. And then we thank you for everyone that is listening tonight. Speak to our hearts. Bless this speaker in a mighty way, Pastor Milliken. And help that by thy grace, his words may flow to us, O Father, as meet in due season. And it may be a blessing to each and every heart, each and every hearer, and even those who will be going to the archives of this program later on. Help that by thy grace, that they may find it a helpful tool to guide them, O Father, as they go through life and deal with issues of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Pastor Milliken, it's all over to you, sir.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be able to be with each of you tonight. A couple of weeks ago when we were together, we talked about prayer, how important that exercise is, this privilege of talking with God, this wonderful opportunity which is ours to commune with the great King of the universe, the great Creator God, to have that fellowship and communion with Him. What a privilege. And we liken prayer as being the breath of the soul. It's a spiritual breath. And it's essential that we have that communion with our great God. We can't live without it. Prayer is necessary. We need it. And the Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. In other words, we're to be in an attitude of prayer all the time, recognizing that every blessing that we receive comes from God's hands. So we're His children. He's our loving Heavenly Father. When we talk about prayer, we referred also to the prayer that He gave us an example. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, He says, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And I like the introduction that you gave, Brother Don, about how we are to forgive. And you use that text in Colossians. It's so important. Perhaps it may be well to just pause for a moment and recognize what really is happening here. We are naturally born into this world separated from our loving God, separated by sin, that condition of sin, that nature of sin that has been passed on to us from our first parents, Adam and Eve. And we're more than separated from God. Actually, we're enemies from God, as you pointed out, Brother Don. And I'd like to read just a couple of those verses that remind us of that. In Romans chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn to this chapter. Romans chapter 5, and here, beginning at verse 6, it tells our natural condition, that we find ourselves apart from Christ. Romans 5, beginning at verse 6. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's all of us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, that's all of us. Christ died for us. Then He goes on. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, and there's what you referred to, Brother Don, when we were enemies, we were reconciled through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And
Amen.
Not only that, but we also rejoice in God. Yes, we rejoice in that privilege now, that relationship we have with Him. We've been forgiven, we've been redeemed, we've been pardoned, we've been brought back into relationship with God. We rejoice, yes, in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now receive the reconciliation. Yes, we've been reconciled, brought back into harmony with God. What a privilege. And in the very same chapter here in Romans, I want to read one more verse, verse 1 of the chapter. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, when we accept that now by faith, God tells us that's true. We believe it. We believe through faith that God means what He said, and we're counted just, counted righteous by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, we've been forgiven. We've been brought back into the family of God. We've been restored in our relationship with our wonderful Creator God. And when that has happened, we have that new relationship with our wonderful God and all through His Son, Jesus Christ. since that has happened, a big change takes place when we believe that, when we accept it. It's not just something intellectually. No, it's a change in attitude. We are at peace with God now. We're in harmony with God. We have that joy in our heart. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. Praise his name. And that attitude now is carried over in our relationship with others. If God has forgiven us, how can we not forgive those who may have wronged us? How could we do less? How can we not show that same kind of kindness and love to others that God has showed to us? And prayer, that's our time when we're taking some moments to commune with God and to draw near to him, to seek that transformation, that full transformation of character. And that's why, as we receive that, we want to share it with others. Let's go back to the passage in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, to the passage where he gave us these instructions we talked about a couple weeks ago on prayer. Let's go back to that chapter again. And we'll find tied right into this attitude of prayer is the matter of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to begin reading at verse 9. And I'm reading now, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he goes on. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Yes, when we harbor unforgiveness, if we're carrying a grudge against someone, someone may have wronged us deeply. When we harbor a grudge, though, and are not willing to forgive it, sometimes I believe we have to pray, oh, Lord, I don't have a good attitude. I'm angry. I'm being hurt. But we have to pray, Lord, please help me to not harbor grudges, but to be willing to forgive. You changed my life, Lord. I want to be like you. You brought me into communion with yourself. I want to be at peace with not only you, but with those around me that you love just as you love me. Yes, we need to pray that. And I'm sure those of you that are listening to me tonight, many of you have been wronged. You have been hurt by others. I have been too. I could tell you experiences where people have misjudged me. And I suppose I've misjudged others, to be fair, as well, because we all make mistakes, don't we? God wants us to have that attitude of love and compassion and to be more and more like him. And that's the purpose of prayer. That's the purpose of this whole communion. Not that just we pray. No, it's so we can be changed. Remember I pointed out, prayer is not to change God, but to change us. God is perfect. He doesn't need changing, but we certainly aren't. We need a lot of changing. And I'm so glad, as someone said, God is not finished with us yet. He still keeps working in our hearts, and he keeps transforming us by his grace and his mercy and his love day by day. I'd like to have you turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles in front of you, to Matthew 18. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples about this whole matter of forgiveness, this whole situation that we're talking about. and how essential it is and how important it is. And he talked very, very straightforward to the disciples at the need of forgetting one another. And I want to start in Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21. It says, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Well, that's a good question. What if a brother or a sister keeps doing the same thing over and over again? How often should I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, he thought he was really being generous. You know, the religious leaders of that day said we should forgive someone up to three times. But he added four more. He said up to seven times. And notice what Jesus answered in verse 22. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Wow. Up to 70 times seven. Well, 70 times seven, that's 490 times. Ooh, that's a lot. I don't think Jesus meant that we should have a piece of paper and every time this brother wrongs me, I write it down. That's number one. Number two. Well, that's number 10 already. Well, that's number 20. No, I don't think that's what he's trying to tell us at all. I think he's trying to teach us that we need to have an attitude of forgiveness, just like he, our wonderful God, keeps forgiving us. You know, the children of Israel wronged God many, many times. And in Daniel, the ninth chapter, and we don't have time to go there tonight, but he talks about how he gave the Jewish nation 490 years of probationary time for them to accept his love and the Messiah that he sent to save them. 490 years. And I believe he's referring to that, though, and he talked to the disciples when he said 70 times 7, 490 times. Wow, that's a lot. Well, God was so patient with the people back there. Many times the children of Israel wronged him. They turned back to idolatry. They left him. Still, the Lord loved them. He would send them deliverers, and he would send the prophets to warn them and to appeal to them. And, you know, God's done that for us. I don't know how many times I've wronged God. If he kept a track, I'm sure it's more than 490 times. Why, if I wronged him, just fell short one time every day. Look how many times, that'd be 365 times in a year. Look how many years I've lived. Well, God doesn't keep track. He keeps forgiving us and loving us. And he wants us to accept that love. Let it transform our lives, change us, and help us to have the same attitude to others. And then he went on in this chapter and gave us an interesting story. And I want to refer you to that story this evening. I think it's a powerful story, and it illustrates the point very, very well. Jesus went on and said, beginning at verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he'd begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, how much is that? Let's put that in modern language, 10,000 talents. It actually is millions of dollars, millions. That's a lot. Ooh, millions of dollars. Then this man, the record says, as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. You know, back in those days, they were very, very harsh, some kings and some rulers. And if you didn't pay your debts, they could throw you into jail. I'm glad they can't do that today. But that was what they did back in those days. And Jesus said this king was going to throw him into jail, his wife and his children, until that payment was made. Well, how could he ever pay back millions of dollars? He could never do it. Well, let's read on. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. No, he could never pay it all. Never could, but he's saying, please, have patience with me. Please, don't throw me into jail. Please, I'll pay you back all. And then the record says the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Wow! All those millions of dollars, just forgive him. Can you imagine? What a wonderful thing. A debt like that, paid in full, paid in full. You know, God has done that with each one of us. Over our sins, when we accepted Jesus, he's written, paid in full, paid, all of it. We can never pay it back. We can never pay God back for the debt we owe him, never. But through Jesus, he paid it all. Wow. As the hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Wow, I like that. Jesus paid it all. Wow. Well, the story goes on, though. It doesn't end there. So the master had compassion, released him, forgave him that huge debt. The next verse says, in verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Well, that 100 denarii, that's like less than $100. Not very much compared to millions. But that same servant went out, found another servant that owed him less than $100. And what did he do? Well, it says he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Wow, imagine. He'd just been forgiven millions of dollars. And he grabs another fellow servant by the throat, threw him into jail, who owed him less than $100. Wow. Wow. Now, that story goes on, verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, that's the king, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all of his due him. And then we have the punchline. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Yes, our wonderful God has forgiven us our huge debt of sin. And through his Son Jesus, he paid it all. He loved us. He had compassion on us. And he does love us. But he wants us to realize and appreciate that wonderful act of love that he's given us and to allow his love to fill our hearts to others so that we're kind and forgiving to those around us. And this is tied with prayer so graphically because prayer is our opportunity to plead with God to help us to have that love, to open our hearts to him so we can be changed. We can be transformed by his grace and we can be brought into his family. You see, prayer is not just to give us access to the things we need. No, but to bring us into the presence of our gracious God who transforms our lives and changes us by his grace and love. But someone may ask, but what if the person who's offended me doesn't want forgiveness? Should I still forgive him? What if he doesn't feel that he's even wronged me? Should I still forgive him? I believe our attitude should be one of forgiveness, whether that person feels the need, acknowledges the need, asks for forgiveness or not. No matter what that person feels, we just cannot afford to harbor ill feelings and be unforgiving and display unkindness. No, we want to display love and compassion. When we refuse to forgive others, we are really putting a barrier then between us and God by our very attitude. We're putting a barrier. We're putting a separation between us and our loving Father in heaven. So really, in a sense, we're destroying ourselves. You see, bitterness and anger and resentment are all like poison that poison us. And we just can't afford to harbor poison. No. We want to let that poison out. We want to be kind and forgiving to others. I'd like to have you turn, before I close, to a passage in the book of Ephesians, where Paul talks about the attitude we're to have. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading at verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. It says, And let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Then it goes right on in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore be followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Yes, we're to walk in love. Walk by the grace of God. I think of an experience that I read about in the experience of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom and her sister had been taken prisoner into the terrible prison camps of the times of Germany. Hitler was ruling. Because they had tried to help the Jews that were being put to death and so forth. Corbett and her sister were brought into this terrible prison camp. And there, along with many, many others, were mistreated, not fed properly. And there was one cruel guard that seemed to delight in being unmercifully cruel to everyone there. And Corrie, of course, had a lot of anger toward this guard. And her sister died there in that prison camp because of the ill treatment. And she had reason to feel kind of bitter about it. But she was a Christian. And later she renewed her vows to the Lord. And she began to give lectures, to travel around giving lectures on what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, and to forgive. But one day after she concluded one of her lectures, a gentleman came forward, and as he was coming, she recognized that very cruel guard that had so mistreated her and her sister and others. That cruel guard. Here he was coming. And he was stretching out his hand to her, and he said, please forgive me. All those old feelings came up, those feelings of bitterness and anger. She thought they were all gone, but there they were again. How could she reach out her hand and shake the hand of this man who had so mistreated her and others. She prayed, Lord, help me, please help me. And she reached out her hand and took his and said, I forgive you, brother. And a peace filled her heart and a joy. And a peace filled his heart too. Wow, what a change to be forgiven. Well, we all have been forgiven by Jesus. Every one of us who have confessed our sins says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess, he certainly does. He forgives us all unrighteousness. And he wipes the slate clean. We are free. And we're on the road to glory land. But the Lord doesn't want us now to let any ill feelings come in and harbor in our lives so that we're not forgiving to others and that we spoil that journey and we block that relationship of love that God has given to us. And yes, we may have to do what Corrie ten Boom did. Pray, Lord, help me, help me. I can't do it alone. And God has promised to help us. Now, someone may be asking, but someone has hurt me, and I've tried to forgive, but I still have memories of it. Does that mean that I haven't forgiven that person? No, not necessarily. Some memories are always going to be there, but our attitude needs to be that we don't let those memories poison us. But we still have the memories sometimes. They may not go away very easily, but we put it in God's hands, and we begin to pray for that person, that very person. And I have to suggest, if some of you are having that struggle, someone hurt you, someone that you're having a hard time forgiving, pray for that person as well as you're praying for yourself. Pray that that person may find that joy and happiness also that God gives so freely in Jesus. Pray for that person and pray that God will change that person's heart as he changes ours. And God certainly will do his work. He certainly will. I'd like to just close with a word of prayer. I feel impressed to do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, gracious Father, you have forgiven us. Through Jesus, you paid our debt that we could never pay, that huge debt of sin. And you've given us your love and compassion and mercy. And Lord, let no feelings of bitterness and anger, resentment dwell in our hearts. Transform us by your grace and love. And may we keep growing more and more like you. Bless each one that's listening tonight. You know each need. May your will be done in each life. I ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. We want to thank you so much, Pastor, for that study. And I just want all of our listeners to know that we have all the lines open. So at any time, if you want to make a comment, if you want to ask a question, you can just go right ahead and do it, okay? Because all the lines are open right now, so you can all ask a question or make a comment or anything like that. But I would like to ask Pastor Millican a question. And that question deals with how do we deal with the fact that we may forgive somebody, or if you say we forgive somebody, but we can never forget, you know, what that person may have done to us.
I tried to deal with that just briefly. I think that forgiveness, forgetting everything is not the same as forgiving. You know, God...
What I was trying to say, forgive and still hold on to what a person has done.
If we're hanging on to bitterness, that's different. But if we may still remember what that person has done, but we don't hold it against them. When we forgive somebody, we release them.
Yeah.
You know, when God forgives us, He releases us from paying the debt we owe him. He releases us. We're to release that person. And we're not talking about financial debt here. We're talking about that debt of whatever hurt, that harm that they were in.
You know, I was thinking about the thought that you share with the parable that Jesus told about a king that forgave that gentleman a debt that he couldn't repay.
Right.
And then he went out and he refused to forgive somebody who owed just a little bit. And I was wondering, why do you think Jesus told us that story? What is it that
he told us that story to illustrate to us, all of us, that we owe a debt to him that we can never pay. We can never pay it back. You know, the wages of sin is death. Can we ever pay that? If we pay the debt, then we'd be lost. The people who reject Jesus will be lost. We can't pay it. That's why Jesus paid it all. He died for us. As I point out in the message, he paid the debt. All to him we owe. We can't pay it. It's a huge debt we can never pay. So we need to be willing to acknowledge that and accept it so completely that we're full of joy and happiness. You know, the trouble with that man who wouldn't forgive his fellow debtor, I don't think he really believed that that big debt was paid. He didn't act like it. He should have been so happy and joyous. He should have been shouting and saying, you know, the king's so wonderful. Look, he forgave me these millions of dollars. What a wonderful king.
Amen.
He didn't do it.
No, it's true. And I think what Jesus wanted us to realize there is that if he can forgive us of what we have done as sinners, then we need to be able to forgive people who have wronged us. Because it's not going to be easy, but I think if we think about what God has forgiven us from, you know, and how he has given us the opportunity to have eternal life, then we can forgive others when they do us things that are wrong. But
and
it's not easy.
We may not be able to do it on our own, but again, that's why we plead with God. You change my life, Lord. You have to do it. I can't do it on my own.
Yes, Lord.
And I think that's why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer also said that when we pray, we should ask for forgiveness. We should say, Lord, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. You know, we need to ask him to teach us how to forgive.
Yes.
Because in our own strength, we don't want to do that.
Right, and we could never do it on our own. We could never do it on our own. That's true.
No. Especially as people do us wrong and people hurt us. Anyhow, I want to open up to, we have like about 10 minutes more. So if there's anyone who would like to make a comment or ask a question, now is the time to do that. All the lines are open. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm Francis, and I enjoyed the message, and I understand a lot more, you know, concerning the forgiveness and the forgetfulness, you know, because we have to forgive, as the word was saying, for God to forgive us, you know, and we do want forgiveness because we want eternal life, you know, and we want to be live the life that's pleasing to God.
Amen.
We have a lot of stuff on our mind concerning hurts and things like that. We can't really receive the word of God, and he said we couldn't run this race with excess baggage. So I just thank God for the message and knowing that we can forgive one another and we can love them again and pray with prayer. We got the Lord to help us to do things.
Amen.
And as it was spoken, you know, We all been hurt some type of way, but we got it's left up to us to make up, and you know, we don't always wait on another person because we got to stand before the Lord for ourselves. But we need to go on and forgive. Praise God! Thank God for the message today.
Amen. Amen.
Good to hear from you, Sister Francis. Yes, yes, it's good to be here. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Say what?
I said I haven't heard from you in a while. You are sick or something like that? Oh, yes, yes, I have been sick. I thank God that I'm well now, but I also went to the doctor on Tuesday. And my hemoglobin is low and my iron. So on the 4th of February, I have to have that iron intravenously like I usually have it. But I hadn't had it since 2012, so thank God for that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. And like I said, welcome back.
Good to hear your voice again.
Oh, yes. Great to be back. Great.
All right. Is there
anyone else who would like to make a comment?
Yes.
Go right ahead, brother.
That's right. Brother Simpson, I'd just like to say I enjoyed the message this evening and about forgiveness, and then I realized how important the Lord wants us to forgive others. He said, if we don't give others, he ain't going to give them their trespass, he ain't going to give us our trespasses. So I just enjoy, I mean, I realized that, and said, forgive and forget. He may still come and for you, but the attitude, you won't have that anger there like you were before you forgive the person. So I thank God for that. I experienced that. But as we mature, and we mature in the Lord, we learn how to be willing to forgive, and then
amen.
Praise God.
Be willing to forgive, and so that's what the Lord commanded us on. But I just enjoy that. Thank God for it, and He forgave us. He paid all for us as the messenger in the mess. He did it all for us. Mm-hmm. So, and I thank God for it, and enjoy it. Thank God. Bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Simpson.
Anyone
else? We still have some time. I'm going to read something in the meanwhile, while you're thinking. And it just is, and then I'll let Pastor wrap up, and then we'll do the closing prayer after that. Do a closing song, and then we'll have the closing prayer. But I'm just reading this thought around forgiveness. It says, forgiveness is not a matter of mathematics or legal regulations, but it is an attitude. He who harbors within himself the idea that at some future time, he will it says he who harbors within himself the idea that at some future time he will not forgive is far from extending true forgiveness. Even though he may go through the form of forgiving, if the spirit of forgiveness actuates the heart, a person will be as ready to forgive a repentant soul the eighth time as the first time, or the 491st time as the eighth time. True forgiveness is not limited by number. Furthermore, is not the act that counts, but the spirit that prompts the act.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is so powerful.
That's where it's at. It's our attitude. Mm-hmm. It's the spirit. It's the, we want the spirit of Christ living in us. That's what counts.
Yes. So it's not about what we do and how much we do in terms of forgiving. And you should never look forward to a time when you would say, okay, you know what? This is it. The person has wronged me 10 times or 490 times. If he does it one more time, that's it. It's over. No. What it's saying is you should be ready to forgive just, you know, the 490 the first time, just as much as you are ready to give the first time. Because it is always about having that attitude. And you know, Pastor, when we think about the times that we have done things wrong in our lives and God has to forgive us over and over and over, and sometimes over and over and over for the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, we have to be careful that we don't try to limit how much a person can do us wrong before we said, okay, that's enough, and we're not going to forgive anymore. You know?
And we shouldn't be keeping track. We shouldn't be keeping track.
So we have to live with that attitude of forgiveness, and we have to have that spirit of forgiveness.
Yes.
And I know it's not easy, but like Jesus said, when we pray, we ask God, you know, to help us to forgive the way he forgives us, and then he will give us the strength to do it. It's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, at this time, we're going to pray because we're running low on time. So I want to pray first, and then I'll put on the closing song for all of us. But let us bow our heads in prayer. And you know what? As a matter of fact, I have my wife on the line.
Wonderful.
She is still in the hospital, yes. So, Anne, are you there? Hello? Okay, I thought that she was there with us.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Since you're there, and I know that the Lord is blessing you and helping you to come around, do you want to do the closing prayer for us?
Sure.
Just a short closing prayer, and then we will put on the closing song for this evening. Just a short prayer.
Mm-hmm. Let's bow our heads for prayer.
Yes.
Our Father and our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory because you are God. In spite of who we are, you are still God. You love us so much, that you send your Son to die for us, to take away our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father God, we are claiming your gift. We are claiming your love. And we say thank you. We say hallelujah. We say praise you, O God. And we pray, O Father God, that you continue to be our God. Continue to reach out to us and continue to put within us that spirit where we can reach out to you. Help us to forgive those who have sinned against us. Not so that we can look good or score points, but because you have forgiven us and put that spirit of forgiveness within us. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I just want to say before we go that that's my wife. She's praying for us there. She's listening in from the Piedmont Hospital in Atlanta, New York, where she has been. This last Friday at this time, she was being prepped for surgery. for a kidney transplant, and she had a transplant, and early in the week she could not even speak the way she's speaking, but hear at her speak now. Amen? Hear at
Amen.
Her pray now. So we just want to say God is good. And I just want to thank you all for your prayers. She is still in the hospital. She has not been released as yet, but she is doing a whole lot better than she did, you know, a few days ago. So I just want to thank you for that, Anne, and I just want to thank each and every one of us that are listening in. I thank all of you for your prayers. Pastor, thank you for the message and the blessing that we have gotten from this study tonight, and I pray that you will join us next Friday at this same time when we meet to look at another topic that would draw us all closer to God. I know Pastor is not going to be with us next Friday. Next Friday, this time, Pastor, you're going to be in India?
Holding a meeting. That's the plan.
Yes, Pastor goes to India every February on his missionary journey, and he goes there for a month. So, and he preaches and teaches and works with people that are even visually impaired out there in India. So that is amazing. Yeah, maybe you want to share a little bit about that trip, Pastor, before we go, while we're still on.
Well, I would say I would invite you to pray for us because we're going to be having meetings that we bring people together from Joyce and I, my wife and I, from seven villages. And we have a team of workers where we share health messages with them, health principles. We talk to the young people, and then we share the gospel of Jesus. And we do that every night for 15 nights, every night.
Mm.
And God is the past, and he knows he's going to bless again. So I invite your prayers, because we know that only God can change human hearts. Only God can do that.
Amen. All right, so while you're over there, we're going to be praying for you, and we just ask you to remember us over here. And pray for us, and we pray that God takes you safely and bring you back safely.
Thank you.
Everyone, I just want to wish you all a very happy Friday evening, and I pray that God bless you as you go into the weekend. I pray that those of us who are going to church tomorrow will worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and those who might be going on Sunday may do the same, and may God bless us as he draws us all closer to him. See you next Friday at the same time, and please do invite someone to be with us.
Amen.
God bless. Yes.
Amen.
Oh, damn.
That's what it was.